Together, we help spread the story to the public and other Rotary clubs around the world. 9 years ago, I borrowed Jeff Severing's house from here for an evening and produced Ice Detective at Del Mar TV about his adventures taking his SIO team to Antarctica and Greenland to pull ice cores. It felt like I was doing something to help educate the public and spread awareness. 8 years ago, I met Ivan Gaylor, a Del Mar developer who happened to have developed, for example, Del Mar Plaza, who had turned environmentalist and had founded Nature and Culture International a decade earlier to try to save biodiversity hotspots in Ecuadorian rainforests and elsewhere. He also agreed to let me interview him for a Del Mar TV production that I called How to Save a Rainforest. I later went to Ecuador with him, visited NCI projects, stayed at a research station he built on top of the Andes, staffed by German researchers, and learned about biodiversity firsthand. The next year, I helped assemble a Rotary Global grant that helped secure biodiversity hotspots along the Ecuadorian border with Peru and helping half a dozen communities there. 7 years ago, my interest in the future stretched out by several decades when my first of three now grandchildren was born. I was no longer, some of you will recognize this idea, I was no longer waiting for grandchildren. When I recently asked if first-grade granddaughter Kaylee might understand a particular bit of humor, her mom reported this dialogue. Mom, Granddad wants to know if you get this joke. Never trust an atom. They make up everything. Kaylee laughed, and then, like a first grader, corrected her mom. Well, that's not really a joke. That's a pun. Granddad wants to leave his grandchildren a healthy blue and green planet with ice. I hope we can. As UUs, we accept responsibility to care for our home and to stand with those most affected by environmental degradation. Through Commit to Respond, UUs commit to join together to shift to a low-carbon future, advance human rights of the afflicted, and grow the climate justice movement. Many of you have already done so in your own way. The Brag Board, started a few weeks ago by Laura Colbain here, has examples of what individuals here have done and are committing to do. I believe you can still see it up in the patio area. While Commit to Respond identifies specific steps to help address the climate crisis, It also is a way to help us move from fear to active hope by engaging in community, and in so doing, to help ourselves by replacing fear and paralysis with resolve and action. It is natural to feel anxious about the climate crisis, but we are not the first generation to face an existential crisis. Our ancestors rose to challenges every bit as scary as the one we face. We cannot imagine how people felt during the early years of World War II when the outcome was unknown, good news was rare, so many men were shipped overseas, many were dying. Reaching further back in time, we cannot imagine how bleak and scary life must have been while the nation was engulfed in a civil war that tore apart families and destroyed so much. They could not see their future. For many, hope was lost. Today's challenge is not global war. It's not general war. Today's challenge is a global climate crisis driven by excess greenhouse gas emissions from burning fossil fuels. We are technologically capable of transforming the energy sector to be largely free of fossil fuels very rapidly. What has not yet happened is the equivalent of a Pearl Harbor moment when an idea grabs attention so powerfully that a nation is mobilized toward one goal, when the will of a nation concentrates on one challenge. By technologically capable, I mean we can and we are transitioning to green power. For example, the San Onofre nuclear power plants that are now closed generated a total of 2 gigawatts when both reactors were operating. At the end of last year, the total installed U.S. wind turbine generator capacity was 65 gigawatts. Wind and solar power sources are expanding. Today's challenge may be viewed as technological, as economic, as ideological, as behavioral, as a matter of willpower, as a moral crisis, as political. In a sense, it is all these and more. And as a consequence, you may help in different ways, whether by growing a community garden, reducing your carbon footprint, witnessing to others, influencing the larger conversation through media, promoting progressive legislation and candidates, advancing science, engineering efficient products and processes, building software solutions, building greenhouses and buildings. Everyone can help. Many of you are. Together we can do more. Our ancestors rose to their challenges and overcame and built tomorrows that we enjoy. It is our turn. People are rising to the challenge here and elsewhere. Here's a small sample of activity in our neighborhood. One I mentioned, the Scripps Institution of Oceanography, SIO, has led the world in climate research for a century and focused on greenhouse gases for 50 years. Our own Lynn Talley and Jeff Severinghouse hold prominent positions there. Nature and Culture International, founded by Ivan Gaylor in Del Mar, has saved over 10 million acres of the world's most important biodiversity hotspots. The Citizens Climate Lobby, founded by Marshall Saunders in San Diego, now has active chapters in 240 cities and is influencing federal legislation through well-organized grassroots efforts. Understanding Climate Change, founded in 1989 by Bob Coates with fellow Rotarians, has been bringing the SIO scientist before the public for 25 years. Casas de Luz, founded in 2005 by our own Kathy Fowler, will be building its 40th house in Tijuana this year. And look in your order of service for some things about that coming up here. The Solana Beach Clean and Green Committee, founded by local individuals with long histories in environmental research and activism, led the Solana Beach City Council to pass a plastic bag ban, and which has made it possible for Encinitas to do the same. The City of San Diego's Climate Action Plan, signed by Mayor Faulkner in September of 2014, sets a 100% renewable energy target by 2035. And SDG&E indicates that we're actually on our way in that direction. They're ahead of plan. That's just a sample of local contributions toward climate justice. As you know, a great deal is happening elsewhere too. Here's one you may not know about. Pope Francis will be releasing a encyclical on climate within the next 2 months in a global broadcast. Pope Francis is also expected to focus on climate justice when he addresses a joint session of Congress and the United Nations General Assembly in September and the UN Climate Conference in Paris in December. Our members have a lot of experience and ideas to share. Let's hear from two voices of our fellowship. Greg Brown will be sharing some things he wants to say to engage the one percenters, to invite them to join us in pursuing climate justice. Before hearing Greg's story, let's hear Mary Pomeran extol the virtues of buying used rather than buying new.
Hi, my name is Mary Pomeran. My husband John Drew and I have just been attending here for several months, but have been UUs for over 10 years. We're very impressed by the commitment we see here to live by our principles. This global crisis of climate change and the issues surrounding sustainability are multifactored and difficult to navigate successfully. So what can we do about it in our daily lives? Many of you, I'm informed and believe, are doing something you may not really appreciate fully from the Earth's point of view. Speaking on behalf of our burdened Earth, thank you. Thank you for buying used instead of new. Thank you, you who enjoy using your money wisely. Reuse is for you. We who buy used enjoy the instant gratification rush of possessing the object of our desire immediately instead of waiting for it to come to our door in a truck. And isn't it great not to have to pry your new possession out of plastic blister packs designed to defeat you? And then sadly to fill up your recycle bin with that super packaging. The Earth thanks you. It knows that when you buy new, say, a car, a mesh of electronic messages go out into, I looked this part up, the complex and dynamic supply and demand network. There's a whole website about it. It starts when a customer activates flow by ordering from the retailer, who reorders from the wholesaler, who reorders from the manufacturer, who reorders raw materials from the suppliers. Orders flow backward up the chain in this structure. So thanks again for buying used, for you do not activate all the components and raw material suppliers all over the globe to gear up to make another, let's say, car. Each of the car's components needs to be sourced. The metals, the plastics. Thank you for not causing more bauxite and iron ore and rare earths for the onboard computers to be dug up out of the Earth's bones. And the coal that makes the electricity. And thanks that more petrochemicals don't have to be extracted to make the plastics, to run the diesel ships and fly the airplanes and heat the furnaces and use up the water that goes into making all these pieces, parts. All these materials and energies eventually are transported to convergence to make a new car that will take the place of the one just purchased. Thank you for not triggering this avalanche of exploitation. And look, about that pre-owned car, you may be surprised to learn that some auto manufacturers sell cars that are only a year or two old at substantial discounts under their certified previously owned programs, which not only include a very thorough going over of the car, but an amazingly better than new car warranty, which is hard to believe, which we found out when we bought our two used cars. All this being said, for those of you not lately acquainted with what can be obtained on the secondary market, let me do some boasting here as I hope inspiration and incentive. Our cars were certified previously owned. But did you know that there are previously owned but barely used tires out there? Yes, people buy new cars and switch to fancy rims, which the factory-issued tires do not fit. Those replaced tires are, mileage-wise, new. They make great buys, but you have to look for them and you have to ask for them. In refurbishing my mother's former home as a rental, we bought a lot of like-new construction materials at Habitat for Humanity's Restore, which encourages donations from home remodelers and contractors. We bought, among other things, medicine cabinets, lighting fixtures, doors, window coverings. For our own home, we bought a wonderful stainless steel, quite up-to-date stovetop. When I drowned the former one by boiling water all over it. There are well-known charity thrift stores which benefit both charity and purchasers. They sell a wide variety of items. We've found unique items of art and of utility that continue to serve and delight us. We bought a pair of big diameter bamboo chairs for the patio. At consignment shops, we have found gems of mirrors, lights, bookshelves. And then, of course, there are garage sales and estate sales. We have an antique Chinese sideboard that someone in La Jolla fitted with a copper sink and used in a bathroom. We found it at a warehouse maintained by a La Jolla home remodeler who couldn't bear to throw these things out, so he's made a business of reselling them. Some of you may still be in the closet about buying used, which is understandable in a culture that not merely worships the new, but considers it a patriotic duty to go buy the latest, greatest, new, and improved. I thank you all for the so many things you're already doing to redeem the earth. Please consider whether a need you have might be supplied from the secondary market. After all, we're the descendants of the successful hunter-gatherers. Surprises and treasures await in the emporia of the used. The earth thanks you.
While Greg Brown is in DeBeneville, we'll hear channeling him as Louise Garrett.
Well, even though you might imagine these are Greg's words, but I don't sound anything like Greg, so please excuse. And Greg is speaking to the 1%, and I understand you understand what the 1% is, because I'm the 99%. Suppose for a minute that somehow you had a chance to talk with one of that 1%, one of those who control most of the wealth in the U.S., and most of the power. What would you say? Here's your only chance to persuade this influential person. You don't want to blow it. How would you get through? Well, I'd start out by shaking his hand or her hand. It's good to meet you. Thanks for taking some time to talk about the climate problem. I think talking and listening are the first steps toward dealing with what's going on. I sincerely want to understand your concerns and share my own with you. I'm sure you'll agree that staying away from polarizing rhetoric and negative labels will help us keep our conversation objective. I think we have many things in common. I firmly believe that you want a livable, healthy planet to be here for your grandchildren to live on long after you're gone, and so do I. We may disagree, though, on how to make that happen. The evidence is mounting that the world is already in the middle of a global warming crisis. Every year is warmer than the last. There are droughts and wildfires like never before. Glaciers that have been stable for millions of years are melting. Sea levels are rising. Weather patterns are changing and storms more severe. I could go on, but you know what I'm talking about. Look, I don't know how much of this crisis you accept or believe to be true. You may think it's exaggerated for some reason, but don't just take my word for it. Be open to the scientific facts, no matter how they may shake your world view. You're too intelligent to be misled by a handful of pseudoscientists who are paid to sow doubt. Doubt that will delay any action by people and governments to make the radical changes that are necessary. I know they might lower profits. And I'm not talking about just changing to LED light bulbs or all the driving you do in those Priuses. They're a drop in the bucket. We have to change everything. The numbers tell me you've done very well in the financial world. So naturally, you see the world from a perspective of economics, trade, and markets. You've used your intelligence and skills to get where you are. You are definitely winning the game in your world. But there's a larger world where the bottom line isn't measured in dollars. A world where clean air and water come before trade and profit. Don't get me wrong. I'm not here to vilify corporate capitalization or capitalism. It's a huge success, a powerful engine for growth and wealth and progress. But it's the victim of its own power. Today, it runs by burning fossil fuels, gas, coal, oil. And every day, factories, ships, trucks, cars, power plants, buildings, and 1,000 other things pump massive amounts of carbon into the atmosphere, and the planet gets hotter and hotter. So what's the answer? It's not big government socialism that conservatives keep warning us about, and it's not globalized capitalism that, according to the liberals, exploit the third world. Neither socialism nor laissez-faire capitalism holds a solution to the world's problems. The answer is getting real. There's got to be another way, based on seeing the problems clearly, not letting blind ideology skew our vision and using every means we have to fight global warming. We've got to find a way soon, or the world as we know it won't survive. Somehow we've got to work together as individuals, as cities, as nations to convert to renewable energy, solar, wind, biofuel, etc., to stop pouring more carbon into the air. We can transition to sustainability and maintain a sound economy. It can be done. We're already far beyond what experts predicted 10 years ago for solar and wind energy production. This is where you come in. I'm asking you to use your considerable talents to join me, to join us, the 99%, in working out a solution. But my hands are tied. You may say, if I make waves, the board will fire me. I'll lose everything. We're under siege by the radicals who want to regulate us to death. We have a right to make a healthy profit. It's more complicated than you think. I'm not a greedy, evil person. I hear what you're saying. Yes, I know it will be hard. Very, very challenging, but not impossible. Make up your mind to find a way to begin. You have the power. Together, we have the power. We've got to build a win-win solution based on reality. Let's discard stereotypes, half-truths, and bumper sticker thinking. They've got us nowhere. The crisis is now. Now is the future, and it is time for both of us to act.
Thank you, Greg. Commit to respond helps us move from fear to active hope. Active Hope is not only about helping others, it's a way to help yourself. We look forward to your helping us. Thank you.